episode of Post Faith and Cheesesteaks, episode 110, I believe. Still kind of mind-boggling that we're over 100, but, you know, 2.5 years later. Yeah, 2.5 years later, here we are. So today we got...
Great to see.
Today we got tight ends, so top 10 tight ends, that'll be fun. It's always, this list is always like pulling teeth sometimes because there's a lot of like, obviously every team has a starting tight end and tight ends that get rotated in, but not a lot are like worthy of like being on a list. Like I don't even know how many were on the top 100 NFL list last year. Probably like five, maybe.
It's got to be the most complex and difficult position to narrow down. Yeah. Like you think about it, like a good tight end could be someone that completely sucks at catching the ball, but incredible blocking. Mm-hmm. While also a good tight end could be someone that can't block to save his life, but he's basically a second wide receiver. Like you're talking about guys that are basically extra to offensive linemen or their number one receiving options on their team. Very indifferent position. You can go both ways. There's really no same metric to measure each one. There was no like edge rusher sacks total or, you know, wide receivers just focusing on their yards and their touchdowns. It's just a very diverse list with diverse skills and diverse metrics to rank them.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the harder, like, I mean, off the top of my head, you know, quarterback, cornerback, in my opinion, two hardest positions to play in football. But I think tight end is pretty difficult too. Cause like while receivers are, you know, expected to block too on like running plays, like tight ends are blocked on passing plays too. And they got to, you know, remember how to swap with some of the linemen if they're doing pulls and stuff like that. And there's a lot that's expected of a tight end. So,
well, they could be, you mean you could be blocking and going out for a pass in the same play. Yeah, I mean, look at the system is so important for tight ends. So look at Jimmy Graham, who was an unstoppable force with the Saints, traded to Seattle and just a run first team and just never was the same player ever again. Just system change. It's really a big difference. But I think, I don't know about you, this was a tough list for me. I think this is a position that's lacking elite players. I mean, there's like the top five, which is top six, I would say was pretty easy, but outside that, it's a very, what's the word? Not much parity. I feel like there's just, they're all around the same tier.
Yeah. I would argue. I mean, looking at my list, I think my top eight is pretty solidified as like, they are known as the better tight ends. And then like, I would say 9, 10 through like next 5, 6, you could just put in any order, but, why don't you get us started off with your honorable mentions, if you could find any.
Yeah, no, there was a couple. You know, they're not as strong as my other ones. I'll go with the first one here. I'm a man of honor and a man of my word. So even when I make incorrect decisions every once in a while, I accept them. Okay. A guy that changed teams recently as well. Okay. He was part of one of the biggest trades in the NFL in the last like 5 years, I want to say. A guy who I had him in the top 10 last year. I think he was number 7. Who I had coming out and making a big breakout year that just didn't really happen. So my honorable mention at number 12, I have is Noah Fant.
I also have Noah Fant at number 12, you would say.
So. See you. Look at that. I don't, if you correct me if I'm wrong, but assuming since he was a second year player, you definitely didn't have him in your top 10 last year, did you?
No, I had him in my honorable mentions last year.
Fair enough. I'll give you that one.
He's still there because, now, I mean, his numbers aren't bad. Like I know he has had over 60 receptions in his past few seasons, but like you're just waiting for him to take that like next step. Granted, he's been stuck with shitty quarterbacks. It would have been great if he could have stayed in Denver and played with Russ, but obviously they had to give up a lot to get Russell Wilson. So he's stuck with either Geno Smith or, Drew Rockstill. So,
I still see some of the potential I saw him last year. I mean, he pretty much did identical what he did the year before. I mean, 670 yards to 673, you know, 3 touchdowns to 4, 62 receptions, 68. Like, you're talking about a guy that pretty much had the same exact season as he did the year before. Not good quarterback play, but he's going into some poor quarterback play again. So we'll see. It's a tough hand for him, but maybe new scenery spices it up for a little bit. Yeah. Although I think he's, Drew Lock, if I'm correct, is on the Seahawks as well now. So yes. I don't think so maybe he's just stuck with Drew Lock again. Yeah, who knows? That's my first honorable mention. On to the next one is a young guy who I actually thought showed a good amount of promise last year in his rookie season. He's, you know, we'll see. It's a different quarterback coming in, different change in the offense in total, but showed promise, had a ton of touchdowns. 7 touchdowns in his rookie year will catch anyone's eye. So I want Pat Freiermuth as my number 11. And your shrugging, shaking grin makes me think you also went with Pat Freiermuth at number 11.
I did. I debated putting him like 10 or 9, just like off memory from last season. And then I like went in and I was like, okay, wait, this guy still exists. This guy's still in the league. So I had to remember who was still playing tight end. But yeah, no, I think he'll take a nice jump. I mean, their quarterback situation, I mean, not that they had a quarterback last year really, and, you know, washed up, crippled Ben Roethlisberger, but no, I think he's a Penn State product, right? So
yeah.
Love to see how he kind of develops. We'll see. He's still, like you said, it was his rookie year last year. So for him to be on the honorable mentions at 11, that's a good outlook. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I got 2 young guys in my honorable mentions. So I'll roll in my number 10 right away, because this is kind of the different, you know, the difference maker. And Freiermuth was close to my top 10, don't get it wrong, but a little bit of my homer status came in at number 10 as well. And I think we're talking about a guy that has done it already. I've seen do it. He was elite. There was no question about that. Probably definitely on the back end of his career. But it was he resurged a little bit towards the second half of the year. Obviously, getting traded to a new scenario helps. A team that's actually trying to win, go to the playoffs helps as well. But definitely showed everyone that he's still got some juice. But he, look at his year-long numbers last year, considering he switched teams halfway through the season. It's pretty impressive. 763 yards, 74 receptions, 5 tutties. So I went with one of our favorites, Zach Ertz, at number 10.
Okay. I can see that. I think
you look at his like just his base numbers. I mean, he jumped in just yards per catch, went up on nearly a yard. His completion percentage went up by nearly 11%. He saw new life when he went to the Cardinals. I think shows that he didn't, you know, his skills weren't diminishing. Mm-hmm. The Eagles were obviously in a transition year, different offense. Goddard was emerging. He didn't really need Ertz anymore. Yep. But I think the fact that he came in, produced right away for a team that wanted to compete, wanted to go deep in the playoffs, was impressive.
Yeah.
10. A guy that's clearly elite too, or was.
Yeah, no, I have him on my list very, very shortly. So.
Oh, okay. Look at you. I should have assumed the vet got a little bit higher on your list. So tell me, end the suspense and tell me who your number 10 is.
So as a homer, I really was hoping that the Dallas Cowboys would have been stuck in tight end purgatory after Jason Witten left, because we did steal Dallas Goedert from them. Allegedly, they were going to take him. The Eagles snatched him right before they drafted. And then they had like a rotation of garbage tight ends for a while. But unfortunately, now they do have a good tight end, and my number 10 guy, Dalton Schultz. Still a young guy, only 26. Okay. So I think he's a good. They have a couple other guys that actually are like pretty solid too. But Schultz is obviously the main guy, and be nice. He's a nice little blanket for Dak Prescott. And I think now that Cooper's gone, you have Gallup is injured or suspended, whatever, to start the season. So it's really only CeeDee Lamb and Zeke and Pollard who are going to get the ball. And two of those guys are running backs. So I think Schultz will see his volume increase, and I think that'll push him to top 10 status. So
Fair enough. No arguments there. I have my list. I actually have a prediction that all 10 of our players are going to be the exact same, just different orders.
Okay, we'll see.
I think it's just the tight end position. It's not that diverse. You know, you're talking about like really – I had the 2 honorable mentions in my top 10, and I never even thought about any of the others. There wasn't really anyone on the borderline.
I think there's one guy you might not have that I'm pretty high on, but we'll see what happens.
Here we go.
And by pretty high, I mean like he's coming up next, but.
So. Oh, okay. Well, here I am thinking this is going to be an easy, peaceful episode. I don't have to raise my voice. My neighbors don't have to yell at me. But you're warning me and saying that might. Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, let me move on to my next guy. And I think when we did the opening, monologue there, we talked about this right away. And it couldn't be truer than a guy that I'm bringing up next. And To be honest, I'm very interested. He's one of the players that I'm very interested in going into the season. He's definitely on my radar for different reasons. But young guy, you could say tight end, but man, he plays a lot out wider in that slot. You can basically call him a slot wide receiver. I think it was 85% of his snaps that he took last year were in the slot wide receiver role. I think he's in negotiations with, for his contract or his franchise tag, I believe it is, this offseason, trying to determine what position he actually plays. Guy who can't block at all, but he can catch the ball pretty nicely. Had a career year in passing, 780 yards passing, only two touchdowns, but the offense was kind of sputtering, wasn't really exciting in Miami. But let me tell you why Mike Gesicki is my most, I would probably my most interesting player in the position next year, going into next year. I mean, there's elite talent in this in the tight end group. There's some young guys coming up, but Mike Gesicki is my most interesting player next year to watch. Because of one man, and that is his new coach, Mike McDaniels. Or no, I apologize. What's the guy's name? I'm blanking on the guy. Mike McDaniel. I apologize. Double check. Mike McDaniel,
Take yourself out.
former coach of George Kittle.
Hmm.
George Kittle, as we all know, who's truly elite, could catch the ball better than almost any tight end and some wide receivers, but also was an offensive lineman when it came to blocking. Mike McDaniel, I'd imagine, is going to run the same scheme that Kyle Shanahan did in San Francisco. He's going to bring that run first option, run first op offense. And he's already said that he's interested in creating more blocking opportunities for Gesicki when he comes there. So I'm extremely interested to see how this guy reacts to that. We know he can catch the ball. I mean, guy was a slot wide receiver last year. Let's see if he can block. And if he can, I mean, then you got a real player there. You're talking about a two-way talent. I mean, his receiving chops are pretty much there with any other tight end in the league. Let's see if the guy can not be a complete liability and can do something outside of being a slot wide receiver, because that's what he is. He's not really a tight end. He's a slot wide receiver. Let's see if Mike McDaniel can teach this guy how to block and make him more of a tight end than he is than a slot wide receiver. And I'd be very interested, because if there is one guy that's going to do it, it's going to be Mike McDaniel. He comes from a system that breeds guys that do this. You got speed and Waddle and Hill on the outside. I think that could open up some more opportunities for him as well. So if you're talking about a guy who's going to make the biggest jump from this year to next year when we do these rankings, he's the one I'm circling. And I'd love to see. He's either going to fall on his face and get exposed, or he's going to be a whole new player.
Yeah, I had him at 8 last year. I didn't realize I had him that high. And my notes were did a lot of work in the slot, more receiving tight end. But I thought that he was going to lose some reps with the drafting of Waddle, and they signed Will Fuller last, well, 2 seasons ago, I guess. But he did not make my list this year.
Wow, interesting. I had him at 8 last year. I bumped him down one, not because really he's the same player that we knew he was last year. It's just there were some of the younger guys that jumped him this year, mostly a rookie we'll get to. But I'm surprised you didn't put him in at all.
No, I just looked at it like kind of like what you were saying though, is that he's not a good blocker, and he's literally just a receiver playing the tight end position. Not to knock him, like he's good at it, but I just think if I was thinking last year he was at 8, and that was just with the drafting of Waddle, and now they have Tyreek Hill, they got new running backs, they have what, didn't they send the guy from the Cardinals, or was that a different team? The guy that got Christian Kirk, did he go to the Dolphins? Or was that Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Jaguars. But
Yeah,
even still,
Jaguars.
Tyreek Hill and Waddle are going to command a ton. And I don't see him as this, like, pound it, pound the ball possession tight end, like a bigger body, like a Gronk or a Kelce. I think he's more of that quick little slot guy. So I just think he drops a little bit just because of, I don't know if the volume's still going to be there, but he's definitely an up and coming tight end. I would, if he can get blocking, if he can become a full tight end, like, I wouldn't doubt that he'd rise the ranks again, but just
I
for right
hear your
now.
argument. Yeah, I hear your argument of the one dimensional. I won't argue that. The guy is a slot wide receiver. I barely do want to call him a tight end. He's a slot wide receiver. But this list is more than what you ended last year. It's more about what you're going to do next year. Like, it's our top 10 going into next year. And I think while his skill set probably hasn't changed, this environment and offense has changed enough where I like him more going into next year than I did ending the year there. I think Hill and Waddle benefit him. You got those two guys
Sure.
running on the field. Let him eat in the slot wide receiver. I don't think he's been completely ignored in the passing game. And you brought in a coach who I think, if there's one coach, there's a handful of coaches that are going to turn a tight end from slot wide receiver to a blocking tight end. It, Mike McDaniel, you know, is one of those guys. He's coming from an offense that turned George Kittle into the best blocking tight end we've arguably ever seen, maybe behind Gronk. I still think even if he can't learn how to block, he'll be a threat in the passing game. Waddle, Hill, too much speed. Let the guy go one-on-one with linebackers and nickel corners and safeties like he's been, but put two speedsters on the other side of him. Shane eat up, you know, 5'10", 5'8", nickel corners or linebackers that can't keep up with him. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, he is going to have to block. I assume Mike McDaniel is going to run an offense where he has to block a little bit. And if he falls on his face, then, you know, who's going to get exposed? But I still think you can see enough passing opportunities for him to bounce out.
I think in a normal offensive system that I would agree with you. My only concern is that, and I'm rooting for Tua. Like, I loved watching Tua at Alabama, but he doesn't really have much of a cannon. He's more of an accurate short throw, medium throw quarterback. I think
that helps Gesicki more. Yeah, let Hill and Waddle run down the field and take away the defense. Let Gesicki be the check down.
I agree, but I think because of that, Hill, Waddle will be more, you know, running slots and digs and all this and staying shorter with their routes because when they get the ball in their hands, they are one of the fastest two players in the league, so they can just break tackles from there. So we'll see. I have no idea how the offense is going to – it looks really fast on paper. We'll see how it's all handled, how well Tua plays, but I think Gesicki's definitely in the conversation. I don't have a problem with him at nine where you have him, so –
Yeah, I mean, I think some of you hit on Hill. I think some of his best value, the fact that he's such a good wide receiver, is that even without the ball, he's incredible. Like, he just runs down the field, takes three guys with him. I think that'll open up a lot for Gesicki. We'll see if he can block, but I mean, if McDaniel starts running some six offensive linemen up there with the extra tight end, move Gesicki in, and he can do that, then, you know, sky's the limit. So, all right, well, give me your number. What are we on? Number nine?
Number nine. So, I think number nine is the only parity that we will see on our list. So, you had a guy I didn't have. I think this is a guy that you don't have. His rookie year, he had almost 30 catches for almost 400 yards. Then his second season was a little down, 24 catches, 288 yards, but he also only played 12 games. And then this past year, he saw a nice bump, 50 catches, you know, almost 600 yards, 9 touchdowns. And he really became sort of a blanket for his quarterback when his number one option was kind of taken away from him. And I actually didn't know this till today when I was doing my research, but he and his quarterback actually had the highest quarterback tight end duo for highest passer rating at 130.5. So,
oh, look at you coming with the stats.
Yeah. So coming in number nine. I
appreciate the research.
Yeah. Coming in number nine, a 6'4", 254 pound tight end named Dawson Knox from the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't have him in my top 10. I spent a second thinking about his name, but yeah, he didn't ultimately.
This is more of a Tim pick than a Dakota pick because he's a little younger. He's only recently I really had a breakout year, but I think something we talked about with our quarterback episode was how, or was it maybe it was receiver? I don't remember. When we talked about Diggs and how he was really double teamed in the playoffs and stuff, and then he had Gabriel Davis getting a lot of yards. Dawson Knox was also, you know, opening up that middle of the field, being reliable. So he's that 10-yard blanket for Josh Allen, and Allen likes to scramble. So I think they're going to continue to have a nice connection with – I mean, him and Diggs already have a great connection, so I think him and Knox will continue to grow together as well. So I'm thinking he's going to have better production this year. So,
hey, listen, I won't hate you there. I think you're okay with that. I think – I mean, you're talking about an offense where obviously Josh Allen is the first foremost. We did a quarterback ops episode where he's basically the running game and the passing game. Diggs is elite. Gabriel Davis stepped up. You still have a couple other wide receivers that are, you know, noticeable, but I think Knox does well in the system. No hate there. I can live with it. Still young, shows the promise. But hey, I'll let it be. We'll let it slide. No foul on the play.
Okay.
Moving on. My number eight.
Uh-huh.
The guy who I gotta say this, the tightest matchup in my top 10 rankings was number. My tightest ranking, split was between 8 and 7, and it looked hard. And this was the only tough part. I feel like the rest of the list was pretty easy. This one was tough because it's two younger guys. Okay. One's coming off of a career year. The other one's kind of come off a down year, but he's only, you know, year two or year three or whatever. So it's hard to say it's really a down year.
Okay.
But you know, maybe call me a homer or whatever if you want. I'm fine with that. One of them plays for a team I hate more than, you know, Satan himself. Okay. The other one plays for a team I care less about. But both of them play on a team that plays on Thanksgiving.
Okay, I know. But yeah, that answered the Thanksgiving part, answered the question entirely, because there's only two teams that always play on Thanksgiving. So,
well, here you go. Listen, I'm like, you know, call me Mr. Worldwide, because I'm like 360, you know, all around, go around all the time.
305, but okay.
Same thing. So my number eight is Dalton Schultz, Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
In an offense that, you know, kind of sputters. You know, the Cowboys offense wasn't the same that we, I think, expect with the players they have on paper. Obviously, Cooper's now gone. The offensive line's a little weaker than it was before. I think Lamb is on the verge of a big breakout year, but that also relies on what Dak can do. But Dalton Schultz was a big, reliable target for him. Put up 808 yards. Career year in that aspect, 8 touchdowns too. So it only figures that he's number 8 on my list, because 808 yards and 8 touchdowns. It's basically like he was, you know, born for the number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Young, number 20, he's only 25. I think that he's going to walk into a bigger role now that Cooper's gone, and he turned out to be such a good blanket. He's shown a big upkick from the year before. So I think we can expect a good year from him. I'm not saying he's Jason Witten, but I think the Cowboys definitely found a player that they can rely on going forward. I want to say that they did franchise tag him this year, which I got to be honest, when I first saw it during March, whenever they did the free agency period or whatever, I thought it was idiotic. I was like, you're really going to put a franchise tag on like a borderline starting tight end? And then I looked more into it. It was like, damn, he's only 25. I feel like I've heard his name for a long time. Looked at his stats coming off a career year. And I was like, oh, okay, makes sense. I think letting go Cooper, you know, was easier knowing that you have a tight end that is a reliable option like Schultz. Sure. So I think, yeah, career year going into, you know, year 5, I think it is, he's number 8 on my list.
All right. Before I get to my 8, I'm just going to say, I'm pretty sure our number 7 is the same, but my number 8 is flipped with your number 10. So I have Mr. Zach Ertz coming in here at number 8. Last year, I believe I had him at 10. That's because, you know, he's kind of having a down year with the Eagles. And then when the season started, he wasn't really being used. Like, this new Sirianni offense was started transitioning to being run heavy. So obviously they're going to have Dallas Goedert out there to block. And then once he got traded, like you said, like, it was like a complete change. Like, he immediately got integrated to the offense. I think he scored 1 or 2 touchdowns in his first game with the Cardinals. His stats, like, he caught up pretty quick. He was able to really establish himself in that offense, and that's an offense that had D-Hop, Kyler Murray, another, like, you know, Christian Kirk. So I was impressed at what he was able to do. I'm glad he's still producing. I think he deserves to still be mentioned in the top 10 tight ends. You know, he was obviously one of the best tight ends of the last decade. So props to the boy, Zach Ertz. Still got your jersey. Can still easily wear it into an Eagle stadium, so.
Oh, look at you. I think I see a tear coming out. Yeah, this is a very emotional moment.
Yeah.
Do you want me to give you a second or two?
No. But yeah, like I said, 8 to like 15, there's like a whole different rotation you could swap all these players in. But obviously, this is my list. So I still think he's going to produce. So that's why I had him higher than the other two.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. I think when he got traded to the Cardinals, I think it was more than just a one-year rental. There is definitely growth there. I mean, him, Marquise Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, whenever he comes back from his suspension, not a bad offense to be looking at.
Okay. But
listen, any Eagle making it on the list, or any former Eagles, I should say, no argument here. No matter how ridiculous the ranking might be, I'll always let it slide. So
that's true.
Moving on to, I think we both having us the same number and the same player at number 7.
Turkey.
We have, yeah, TJ Hockenson.
Oh, look at that. I have him at number 7.
Detroit Lions. I got to be honest with you. He was a little higher on my list, I think, last year. I think one of them was in top 5. But I give him no fault to his own here. The guy traded Matthew Stafford to Jared Goff, and we saw a big noticeable drop-off there. I mean, Matthew Stafford was force-feeding the guy the ball. He had 101 targets with Stafford in his last year. 67 receptions. Then you think about it. Jared Goff threw it to him 84 times, and he had 61 receptions. So his completion percentage actually got better. His yards went down a lot. His touchdowns went down as well. He only had four. But, I mean, the Lions were playing a very, very boring offense. And Stafford is much better quarterback than Goff. There was no excitement. There was no explosion. Still a good blocker. I think he dipped a little bit in the blocking. But I think as this Lions team grows a little bit, I think they're on the verge of a very elite offense line. And if you factor in how good TJ Hockenson can be and what we've seen so far at blocking, I think they could be a problem in that aspect. But, I mean, he's in year three, going in year four. I still like his outlook a little bit better than I like Schultz, even though Schultz is coming off a career year. But I think Hockenson will figure it out. He will be fine. The guy, I mean, you're talking about a guy who going into year three lost his starting quarterback and his head coach. Like, that's a lot of change to deal with in year three.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, you know, I would expect a decline of some sort in that aspect. But I think he'll get back to his Pro Bowl form from 2 years ago this year once he gets settled in the offense and Goff throwing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Goff throwing the ball is, you know, enough concern in its own way, but yeah, I think once his blocking gets a little better, he'll really cement himself as that all-around tight end type. He's got the big body for it. He's great over the middle. It's the exact kind of tight end you're looking for. So I pretty much second everything you said. I think he'll be fine. So, you know, he also, I think he had a hand injury either this year or the year before.
He did. Yes, he did. Yeah.
But yeah, I think
well, let's roll right into this one because I mean it's almost a trend. I should have skipped TJ Hockenson and just moved the order around so I could be like, all right, well, I have one NFC East tight end rolling into another NFC East tight end who are both coming off career years.
Okay.
So number six, I have another NFC East tight end coming off a career year who got his opportunity. Once they moved on from Zach Gertz, who I think we all agree is going to be inducted in the Ring of Honor for the Eagles and a living legend for Philadelphia.
Of course. But
he had 830 yards, by far his best. Four touchdowns were a little concerning, but his yards per catch and everything went up, became more of a deep threat possibility. Had 56 receptions, which is right around with his career high. But, I mean, he, as we were hitting on with Hockenson, he is a strong blocker, very strong blocker. So he is the guy that can do a little bit of both. He can block, he can run routes, he can catch the ball. And I think he showed that even more when Ertz is gone. And now that Ertz is going to be off the team for the full year going into it, I think he'll show even more potential. So I'm going to go with the homie, Dallas Goedert, at number six.
Okay. I think our six and five are swapped, but
fair enough.
But I don't have any problem with that ranking there. Do you want to add anything else, or I can go into my six?
No, I mean, I took away most of your thunder for Hockenson, so I'll let you finish up with Goddard this time. I don't want to leave you, you know, with nothing to say.
Sure.
Especially with one of the boys.
Yeah. I like Goddard a lot. I think he'd also have to factor in he didn't even have like a full season because like Ertz was still the primary catching tight end for the first couple games, like first. Until he was traded.
5 games. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you said he had a career year even with that. So just imagine how he would be with a full year.
Oh, yeah. Well, we even better options around him. I mean, Smith's going to take a step forward. You have AJ Brown. It's kind of like the argument we made with Gesicki having Hill and Waddle. You know, those having Brown and Smith on the outside of you is only going to help Dallas even more. All comes down to Hertz's, you know, hurts whether he steps up again or not, but Goddard has enough value in a run first offense or a pass first offense. That's what really, you know, makes him special and what makes most tight ends special is if they can do them both.
Fair enough. Yeah. So my guy, I have at six. I think he was, I don't remember if you had him on your list last year, but I know he was the talk of the town. Everyone was trying to put him in lists and fantasy rankings before he even touched the NFL field.
Oh boy.
But at number six, okay, I have Mr. Kyle Pitts from the Atlanta Falcons.
Can I just say real fast, I did not have him on my list last year, mostly because he hadn't played in the NFL last year. So, you know,
right.
You are correct about that. Right on the nose as you normally are.
Classic. Okay. But yeah, I think the only reason I would have edged him where he is now, as opposed to number five, who, spoiler, I had Dallas Goedert, is because he's not fully an all-around tight end yet. And that's not like, you can't expect every tight end to be an all-around tight end, I would say. And I don't think Pitts really will be, but I think every tight end needs to be able to at least get by with their blocking. I don't think Pitts is very good right now at blocking. But I mean, when you're 6'6", you can kind of get away with doing whatever the hell you want. So very obviously true. He had phenomenal season, you know, over 1,000 yards, 68 catches. He only had one touchdown though, which is kind of weird.
Well, the Falcons weren't very good. So that's kind of,
yeah. And now he has a new quarterback in Marcus Mariota. So, you know, downgrading from Matt Ryan. So we'll see what happens. I still think he's going to be super explosive. They don't have obviously Calvin Ridley. They don't have Russell Gage. So they got Drake London in the draft. So we'll see where the targets go. But he's, I wouldn't argue if someone said he's the number four tight end, I would say sure. But I think it's a little more growing, but he's definitely like, you know, reached incredible levels in only a rookie year. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, I'll piggyback right off that because let's go into my top five. I do have Kyle Pitts at number five. I think that you're downplaying how good that rookie year is. I mean, yeah, he played for a bad team that really didn't win many games, and they are kind of some hollow stats, but the guy still went over for 1,000 yards. He had the one lone touchdown, but 1,000 yards. I mean, he led the league. It led his position really in like yards per catch, yards per air yard, whatever advanced stat you want to use that makes him sound better. That's basically what he did. He can't block at all, but he's also a rookie who can't block at all. Can he get better? Eh, probably, but he's already showing you he's an elite wide receiver. I mean, I was talking about how TJ Hockenson got force fed the ball. This guy had 110 targets. He brought 68, you know, really do a little bit of a downgrade this year, basically coming off exactly what I said with Hockenson, who had a step back after he had a new coach and a new quarterback. I think Pitts is in line for the same thing, especially considering you're bringing in Arthur Smith and Marcus Mariota, who are probably going to run a run first offense like he did in Tennessee. But at the same time, you have a matchup nightmare in Pitts. I'm sure he's going to use them as well as he can. I wouldn't be surprised if he used them in some of the way that AJ Brown was used in Tennessee. But going off that, I mean, Gesicki, you want to talk about, he's a slot wide receiver and he's trying to finagle as well his way into a bigger contract. What do you pay Pitts? Like, Pitts is clearly not a tight end. The guy's the number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if he's just lining out wide like your number one wide receiver would be. So by the time he comes around for an extension, it'll be very interesting because you're talking about like a top five just receiver at that point.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, the guy's a generational talent in that he plays the game different than any other tight end has.
Yeah.
The other thing that'll be interesting is for Chase is already incredible, but you could say Pitts is number one wide receiver, number one receiving threat, just like Chase is. I think Chase is the better player, but I mean, you're talking about one and two right there, but they're going to be next to each other for the rest of your career, and it'll be an interesting comparison.
Yeah, fair enough. I had them both at six, so.
Oh, look at you. Oh. Just keeping it easy, you know?
Yeah, keeping it easy. All right, yeah, so rolling into number five, you know, a little bit of a – not really a homer because he's deserving of the number five spot. And he was the number two ranked tight end on PFF's lists, which is pretty impressive.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, you know what? I'm usually Mr. PFF. Look at you sneak in before the subscription expired.
Yeah, an incredible 90.7 rating. How about that?
Say it again.
90.7.
Oh, thank you. For the people in the back.
That's Mr. Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. Kind of, you know, I mean, we were touting that, you know, Ertz and Goddard were the best tight end duo in the league for a couple of years now, and both of them are on our list, so go figure. Yeah. So Dallas Goedert, obviously, everyone who's an Eagles fan really knows his work and definitely helped with the whole, like, you know, number one running offense in the league and getting the fact that he can go in for a block on a first down on a run and then go out and catch a pass the next play just shows like how talented he is in my eyes. And he, granted, the drops need to be better. He had a couple, and it's not even that like he's making hard catches and he's dropping those. It's like he makes phenomenal catches and then he drops the easy, stupid passes. Or he'll like, you know, try and catch it, somehow pull it in and like lose it, and then it hits off his heel and the other team intercepts it. That shit, I'll tell you,
you know who loves that? Samsung, Toshiba, Because every time he does that, I want to punch a hole through my TV and then have to buy a new one.
I was like, where the are you guy, going like, with this?
Oh, he's got, like, he does, you're right. He makes so many big plays, but, oh, the painful, like, oh, let me just throw it to you wide open, two-handed catch.
Yeah,
oh, God, no TV is safe when Dallas Goedert's out there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because he's so, he does so many things so well, and then he just hits you with that stupid drop. And it's like, come on, just be better. He never looks the ball, and that's his problem. And that's such a, like, peewee football thing that you're taught. But I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, of course, yes. No, it drives you crazy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But like you mentioned, like, he had career numbers. I mean, he jumped from – in his fourth season, he jumped all the way up to 830 receiving yards. And that's only in, you know, who knows how many actual games where he was the number one tight end. But he had 56 catches, 14.8 yards per reception is pretty damn good for a tight end, I feel like.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns, you know, you wish it could be a little better, but did have a long of 45. So I think he's deceptively quick. Like, he's not going to burn you, but I think a lot of times he's so big that he looks like he's going slower than he is, but he's like a freight train coming at people. He's always breaks at least one tackle. So I'm really excited to see him fully integrated as the number one tight end in this offense and, you know, see where it goes now with AJ Brown and Devontae having more action. And, you know, I think he'll be a great in the middle guy to rely on. And I know I talk about other tight ends who lose possession, lose receptions to other receivers, but I think he'll be fine. So
that's I'm definitely excited to see. I mean, I'm excited for the whole offense. I really think the offense is going to take a jump. As a whole, him, one of my favorites. Yeah. I mean, I said Gesicki's probably my most interesting tight end to watch next year. Pitts is in there as well, but I think Goddard's probably my top three. I mean, you know, when we're going into what I would say the elite tier, sure. I think the top four, I mean, you could put them in whatever you want, but there's an elite tier. Until Pitts shows us again that he can do it and Dallas Goedert takes the step now that he's the only tight end in Philly, we have a top four is the elite tier. So, but I think
the number one tight end is pretty clear, but I think 2 to 4, you can make an argument, or 2 to 5, you can make an argument.
Yeah, but I mean, I put all four of them in the lead. Yeah, I'd say number one's probably, I think you're unanimous, but I think you're looking at two guys in Pitts and Goddard. Can they make the jump to the elite tier next year is what is most interesting about them. You know, now that Goddard is the number one guy, he's got the opportunity. Pitts, can he follow up with a great rookie year in a system that is known to be run first and with a new quarterback and a new coach? We'll see. But rolling into that elite tier, I'm going to go with the first guy who's actually coming off a rough year last year. He was injured a lot, missed a bunch of games. I think he only played 11 games, if I'm correct. 11 games last year. You know, he nearly went for 1,200 yards the year before and broke 1,000 the year before that. So his 1,000-yard receiving streak came to an end. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he does the one aspect of tight end really good. You're talking about a guy like Kyle Pitts. I mean, when you talk about the height, length, and athleticism, Kyle Pitts is probably his only comparison. He was he's a big body. He can block a little bit. You definitely don't have to block, but it's definitely not something he likes to do, but he could throw a big body around there. I'm really, really excited. We already talked about tight ends benefiting from number one wide receivers with Hill and AJ Brown coming into the Dolphins and the Eagles. Well, Devontae Adams, who I had as my number one wide receiver, is now gone to Oakland. And I think he's going to help out my number four tight end, Darren Waller, a lot. I like the bringing in of Josh McDaniels. I think Josh McDaniels is ready to go as a head coach this year. I think he learned from his mistakes from prior years. I think he's in a situation where he's got a veteran quarterback, a veteran team that is ready to roll. He's not going to have to develop any guys. He's rolling in with guys that know what they're doing, that have been doing it. Factor in Josh McDaniels, man, he coached Gronk through those prime years, the Aaron Hernandez, RIP, and even the resurgence of Hunter Henry. I mean, there's a long list of good tight ends that have been in the Josh McDaniels system. And I think Darren Waller is going to benefit a lot from that. Down year last year, that's really what's pushing him down this list, was just the down year and hurt year from last year. But I think he's in for a big year this year with a new revamped offense entirely. And I mean, even if you want to just say one aspect of his game is elite, I mean, his pass catching is completely elite. He would be a number one option receiver, tight end, wide receiver, doesn't really matter on most teams in the NFL. So Darren Waller, number five, cracking that elite tier.
Yeah, I also have Mr. Waller, number four as well.
Oh, look at that. That's
look
nice.
At that.
Look
at and you actually, you know what? You made some really smart points highlighting the
I
Josh
only make
McDaniels
smart points.
and
I only
Gronk.
make smart
Look at
points.
that. Look at
It's
that.
all, I'm full of them. They just spew out of my mouth even when I don't try.
But yeah, I think, I mean, 2020 season, he was arguably the best tight end in the league, all pro, Pro Bowl, whatever. Yeah, I think last year he only played, like you said, 11 games. He was hampered by injuries, which is pretty evident because, you know, he only had 55 catches. He was only targeted 93 times, whereas the previous two seasons were well over 100. 2020 was 145 targets and 107 receptions. So the volume's there.
Good
And
job.
I think obviously with Davante Adams and even Renfro running around, his targets may not be as get to 140 like they did that his 1 year, but he's still going to get his receptions in when he's healthy. He's still an absolute beast. Good luck trying to tackle him. He is a specimen, you could say.
Oh yes. Oh,
Very much
big
built. You
one
know
there.
what? Very much built like him and Kyle Pitts. Like I see Kyle Pitts as a young Darren Waller. They're both
I'm sorry, wait a
6'6".
minute. I'm sorry. I already mentioned that. Can you get something new? Don't be, at least put my name on the works cited. That was what
In
I
my
started my
defense,
argument with.
you like I don't know if it's your connection or my connection, but like I've lost some audio here and there, so I must have missed that part. But
So
all
you're telling me that I'm
right.
going in my way to give you a free master class of just excellence when it comes to the breaking down tight end position. You're over here hearing every other word and just nodding your head and just like, yeah, cool. I could have told you Mike Ditka was at my number one. You wouldn't even know.
I would have just agreed. Not in a wave.
Okay. Well,
But
listen, hey.
I'll put you in the work cited. Don't worry.
I hope so. You're nearly word for word over there.
Man. All right. But yeah, so that's that was also my number four. So who do you have at top three now? This is I'm curious to see where our two and threes are. So
Our two and three. Well, I mean, hey, we're in the elite tier now. We're definitely in the elite tier. Like I said, I think the first four are the elite tier. So we're breaking back into it a little bit more. I'm gonna go with actually a guy that's coming off of easily a career year, an all pro year, actually.
Huh?
He was led his position in receiving yards with an outstanding 1,361 yards receiving. That is more than number one wide receivers Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs. Truly, truly just incredible numbers. He had nine touchdowns, which also would be top 10 every player in the NFL, but number one for his position. And his nine touchdowns are more than Tyreek Hill, another name that we already mentioned. And my number one, well, he tied actually with Tyreek Hill and my number one tight end, who we'll get to later. But a guy coming off a massive career year who I, without a doubt, is a elite player. I think give me another one of these years, an all pro season where he's leading the tight end position in receiving yards, touchdowns, and then we can really talk about him in that number one or number two spot. I think number one and two are just so firmly held by two superstars. But I'm going to go with Mark Andrews from the Baltimore Ravens at number
Okay.
three. And the guy is coming off one hell of a year. And don't get me wrong, unlike you, I do like to reward players after they come off career years, and I usually bump them up the rankings. I think I had Waller at three last year, and I moved him, Andrews up one spot. But you could definitely, I would listen to your nonsense if you wanted to tell me he's in your one or two spot, because the guy had really, truly an amazing year. And for all the flack that Lamar gets, I mean, let's be honest, he's not the greatest passer in the world. And the fact that Andrews continues to go out there and just dominate, right? The guy had over 100 receptions. He was top five in it. Just like these are like you're talking about top five wide receiver numbers, 1,300 yards, over 100 receptions, nine touchdowns. So truly, truly, really impressive year. I think when you talk about the guys in front of him, one is just proven to be more elite when it comes to that receiving aspect of the game, and the other one is just elite in receiving and blocking, and that's kind of why I have him a little higher. But Mark Andrews, number three, and I tell you, put him on watch. I think our number one and two have been sitting on that perch for a while. Untouched, Andrews is ready to crop that ceiling.
Yeah, I actually didn't have Mark Andrews in my top 10 at all. So,
Oh, okay, that makes sense. You know,
no,
for you, that's right on par.
I had him at number three. So it
Oh,
sounds
look at
like
that.
our top four identical. What a shame. But
Can I ask you? Obviously, because I'm assuming you're just going to repeat more of what I just said.
yeah,
So, just
yeah,
give
you
me
did
something
cut
new
out
to
for
talk
a brief
about.
second there, so I don't
Yeah,
know
I know.
what.
Before I let you embarrass yourself here, can I ask you, now that Lamar's in a career year or contract year,
Contractor, yes.
Hollywood Brown is now going.
correct.
They've kind of signaled that they might go run heavy again to kind of play to Lamar's strengths. Are we expecting a bigger year from Andrews or a slight decline? Because I find it tough. The Brown going away obviously will help his targets, but I think there's definitely a coaching scheme change into going more run heavy. What do we think for his outlook next year?
No, because I think they'll want to keep – I think he'll be about maybe it's hard to say. I think touchdowns will be the same because when they're in the red zone, you got to keep a defense honest and you can't just rely on running the ball. I think his numbers actually be the same. If not, maybe they'll actually jump a little. Because I can't see Lamar just running every play. He's going to want to do some play action. He's going to want to kind of, you know, stretch the field here and there. And then Andrews will be chilling in the middle of the field, getting open. Breaking tackles and making good plays. So I expect the same out of him. That's why I had him at 3. I think he's slowly been like, I feel like he was kind of creeping in the last 2 years in our list of like between like 6, 5, 4. So I'm glad to see that he's, you know, getting up to the top 3 realm. But yeah, I agree that the 2-1 guys, well, not to say Andrews doesn't do a lot for his team, but those two are like the offense, so to speak. So
yeah. I think another thing you might appreciate that I forgot to mention, I apologize. He was our number one rated tight end on PFF, 91.5.
Yeah, he was. That
not,
is correct.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. We've got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But with that, I want to actually roll right into this because as we were speaking about it, Mark Andrews was our number one PFF rated tight end, but tied for number two with Dallas Goedert at 90.7 PFF ranking. We have arguably I actually don't even think it's an argument. I think now that Gronk's retired, the best blocking tight end easily in the NFL. You're talking about a sixth offensive line on the line. And considering the offense that he's in, there is very few offenses in the NFL where that would be more valuable than it is in San Francisco where he plays. He also came back strong after a couple injury, after being hurt the year before, went for 910 receiving yards, put down 71 receptions, 6 touchdowns. I mean, not mind-blowing stats, but just to remind you how good he is again when you factor in that the guy is just a beast when it comes to blocking. So I think unfortunately for Mark Andrews, the number one and two guys gave us no reason to move them off their number one and two spot. So that's why they're staying there. So number two, I've got George Kittle, who is just – we've mentioned this many times, there's two aspects to the tight end's game, and George Kittle's the best blocking tight end, and he's one hell of a receiving tight end. So there's a complete package you can't beat.
I'll insert my work studied here to repeat what you said.
As George, I got some credit.
George Kittle is very much the new era Gronk, because name another player in the NFL who's more like a WWE wrestler than George Kittle. You know, super athletic, crazy, wild. You know, all over the field, getting down and dirty. He's such a pure tight end in like an old school way where he just will, like, if he sees a guy coming at him, he's just going to try and run him over. Like, there's no if ands or buts about it. He's a pure football player, loves the game. And, like, some of the crazy stats that I feel like, because you mentioned how good of a blocker he is, we don't realize. But, like, once he gets the ball in his hands, like, he's just a beast. With since 2018, most receiving yards after contact in the league. Most broken tackles after the catch, most yards after the catch per reception. So beyond the blocking, which is really good, which I feel like he did a lot of in the beginning of the year when the Niners kind of ran the ball a little more. But yeah, he's very, very good. So him and he just needs to stay healthy. I think he just got nicked up a couple times last year, but yeah, him and our number one guy have kind of Ertz was in that conversation for a couple years, but now it's Kittle and the other guy are really the prima donna number one and number two guys. And you could argue either or for number one, but yeah.
Fair enough. Well, hey, I feel like I've stolen your thunder from, you know, 2 to 10 right now. And I mostly just want to hear you say your own original thoughts. I feel like you're piggybacking on most of what I'm saying here, and the work side, it isn't cutting it. So,
I mean, there's tight ends. What? There's not much more to elaborate on here. They catch the ball and they block.
Well, here, let's expose how little research you're doing here. So I will let you go first on number one because I'm a gentleman. So go ahead. Now? Who do you have at number one? Hey, look at now he's scrambling. Now the pressure's on. And now he's like, oh boy, I didn't have one yet until he went. I lost count of what we were at.
I got you. I got you. Number one.
Go ahead. Tell me.
Number one. Hailing from Westlake, Ohio. How about that? You like that?
Oh, wow. Look at this. Yeah. Birth town. All right. Jeez. Okay.
At the very, very
ready. Let's go.
At the very young age of 32 and 306 days old. You like that?
Wow. You like that? Look at you. Wow. Uh-huh. That was pretty good.
He is a 7-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, 1-time Super Bowl champ. Mr. Brother of one of the best centers in the league, Travis Kelce.
Very good. Yeah. You know what? I'll let you continue, but just so you know, not to leave you on the edge of your seat, I also have Travis Kelce number one.
That's go ahead. Finish. Whoa. I was scared there, you know?
Yeah, it was close between him and Hunter Henry this year. So go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, he's obviously a household name at this point. I think with Tyreek Hill now departed to Miami, and the Chiefs decided to replace him with Juju, which I think Juju's going to have a solid season. I think he'll kind of return to, like, better Juju from Pittsburgh. But he's obviously no Tyreek Hill. So I think even more we're going to see Travis Kelce get targets more often. And he was already getting the ball 130-plus times the past three seasons anyways. Actually passed – five seasons. But yeah, I expect him, if he stays healthy, he will eclipse the 10,000 career yards, which for a tight end is insane.
True.
So yeah, it's not really too much to say about him. He's made the Pro Bowl basically 7 straight years at this point. And yeah, I just, the greatest weapon that Patrick Mahomes, and for any quarterback, one of the best weapons you can have is a reliable tight end who you can throw the ball and he'll catch pretty much everything. So yeah, Travis Kelce, number one. I don't see anyone could really argue it. Cause even at 32, he's still in the prime of his career. So.
Oh yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think he's past the notion of just old reliable tight end. This guy is a playmaker in the passing game. I mean, the last 6 years, he's gone over 1,000 yards every season. He's gone over 80 catches every season. He's arguably a number one receiving threat on, I don't know, every team outside of maybe like 5 or 6 that have better options. The guy is just a pure number one receiving option. And he's not blocking as well as Kittle, but he can block a little bit. He's definitely not needed to do that, but he is a number one receiving threat. He's just pure, just consistent excellence. The guy never misses time. He's played pretty much every single game for the last 7 years, or pretty much since he's entered the league. He's never hurt. He's gone over 1,000 yards, like I said, over 6 years in a row. Like, that is just consistent excellence. We're not just talking about when Patrick Mahomes was there. This guy was going over 1,000 yards when, you know, Alex Smith was there. He's just consistently been amazing. And I mean, the pressure's going to be on him a little bit more now that Tyreek Hill's gone, but I really don't think it's going to be a problem. He's an ultimate matchup nightmare. He's big, he's athletic, he's fast, and he can catch. And playing him in the inside there, you're putting him on some weaker linebacker. I mean, no linebacker can cover him. Safeties are too small. He is, I mean, I would say game-wise, Kittle probably mirrors Gronk game-wise the best in Gronk comparison. Big, strong, athletic, fast. You can't guard him with normal people. You just can't do it. Linebackers are too slow, and nickel corners and safeties are too small. And it's just a complete matchup nightmare. He'll be fine with Hill gone. Mahomes is going to rely on him even more, I think. The guy is a number one passing threat, not a tight end. He's just a passing threat. But, I mean, I guess the one thing you could say is he's getting up there and, you know, what do you say, 306 days old, you know, down to close to 33. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, he's literally been the picture of excellence. I mean, consistent excellence for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
We'll see if those injuries pile up, but we haven't seen it yet, so we have no reason to think so. So, number one, Travis Kelce, and I think next year when we do this, he's probably going to stay there again.
Yeah, and I mean this in the most polite way possible, but he reminds me a little bit of a snake. And the snake. Way a snake.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting comparison.
And the way normally when you say call someone a snake, it's not a good thing, but I rarely have seen, it's like tight ends, you think of like bigger guys, you know, a little slower than a wide receiver, obviously, but I've never seen a tight end that's just always wide open. Like, he finds cracks in coverage. He finds open spots, finds leaks, you know, within the zone. And he's always able to just get open and make a play. And then he's always got so much space. And yeah. so that yards after the catch always racks up. So, yeah,
he understands that zone defense better than anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
he knows the zone defense better than defense coordinators.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. So, but yeah, like we kind of capped, you know, it's a top heavy. Tight ends are very top heavy, whereas you can make an argument for like top 20 receivers. I don't think you can make an argument for like past top 12, top 13 tight ends.
Well, hey, I mean, it was a pretty safe, consistent episode. I apologize to everyone that enjoys watching you to see me yell at Dakota. It was a little mild this time. So I think there's a subset of people that love to see it. So I have to apologize to those fans.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had no broken chairs this time, so that's got
to
be
a good true. One. Yeah. RIP to that bench. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, hey, this was a delight.
Always is. So
I'll see you next time.
All right. Peace out.